Hey guys, this is Vicki Ronchetti with Show Dog Prep School, and today we're going to be talking about reactivity. So it's been a few months ago now, we did a roundtable discussion with several professional dog trainers, and we talked about canine reactivity. So there were so many questions, and people really wanted to ask what was happening and how that all worked. And so today, this is going to be just an open Q&A about reactivity. Now, I am doing this through a platform called StreamYard. And so if you are not a StreamYard user, it's not going to tell me your name. So I won't necessarily be able to answer you by name unless you are on StreamYard. So just go ahead and sign your name if you write a question, so that way I can respond to you and feel a little bit more personal. But I did have a couple of questions to start out with that I wanted to just touch on that came in before, because I had asked before for questions in one of my groups. So the first question is, can you explain reactivity? And just as a reminder, I did repost that interview or that roundtable so people could sort of see, you know, already the discussion that we had, because a lot of questions might have been answered in there. But the first question was, can you explain reactivity? Reactivity, you know, it's basically a dog that reacts to something. Right. And so if the dog is not barking, lunging, you know, freaking out, trying to get to something, then we might label it something else. Right. So the dog, we might say it's fearful if the dog is hiding and quiet. If the dog is really upset and looks offensive, like it's, you know, wanting to go at something, then we might call it reactivity, or we might call it aggression. So basically, reactivity means that the dog is reacting, usually on leash, but this can also happen. You can have a dog who's reactive in your home off leash. You can have a dog who's reactive behind a fence or some sort of other barrier. You can have a dog who's, you know, reactive in the car in a crate. So, you know, it just means that the dog reacts by vocalizing, lunging, pulling, being upset, right? So you're walking down the street, you're walking your dog on a leash, your dog sees another dog, starts barking, lunging, reacting, carrying on. We would call that reactivity. Now, the next question was, can reactivity be confused with anything else? And that's an amazing question, because the answer is yes and no. I mean, really what can be confused is the cause of the reactivity, right? So reactivity is a behavior that we can observe, measure, and quantify, right? That's why I'm always trying to discourage people from using labels, right? Because I don't want you to say my dog is angry, or my dog is jealous, or my dog is mad, or my dog is upset. Because hi, Rebecca. Thank you so much. I love that it says your name too. So basically, you know, the reason for the reactivity can be all those things. So when I say I would rather people not use labels, if you say, well, he's just upset when he sees another dog, well, what does that mean? You know, it for one thing, we don't know if he's upset. We don't know what he's really feeling, right? So our job, my job as a behavior consultant, is to observe the behavior. My job for the client is to observe the behavior, right? Because we can't measure what we think an animal is thinking, right? I can't measure it if someone just says, because people will say to me all the time, he's very dominant. I'm like, what does that mean? Like, don't tell me what you think he is. Tell me what you see, right? Because what you see is what we're going to work on, and what you see is what we're going to measure, and what you see is what we're going to change, right? Whatever you think that the dog is feeling, you don't really know what the dog is feeling, right? Okay, so we have big universal, huge body language things we could look at that actually, you know, tell us, I would classify this as fearful behavior. I would classify this as, you know, the dog's upset. I would class, you know, you can classify it as different things, but the reactivity, the actual behavior can look different, but it's just the dog reacting to something, to some trigger. We call it a trigger. Hey, Diane. Rebecca asked, who experienced coming across a reactive dog? For instance, if I'm walking my dogs and we encounter a reactive dog, what should we do? That is a great question. So, you know, a couple things, and this would go into things we might do with our own dogs, but if you see a dog that's reactive, my first thing is just to offer more space, right? If I see a dog, and partly it's for my own dog's safety, right? I'm not going to let my dog get tangled up with any dog. My dogs don't do leash greetings. I'm not interested in them saying hi. I don't have to go touch my neighbors when I see them. I wave, hey, how's it going? You know, and I believe it's the same for dogs. We don't have to go get up in everybody's grill to do an appropriate, polite greeting. So if I see a dog that's reactive, my first thing is going to be to just kind of look and assess. Now, because this is what I do for a living, right? And because I also have some anxiety with off-leash dogs with my dogs, I'm really on top of this. So one of the first things I do is assess what's going on with the dog and the owner and whether or not I feel like that person has control. Because if it looks like they don't have control, this is not my training client, right? My job right now is to protect my animals. So I want to make sure that it looks like they have control of their dog. I'm going to give that dog some space. And then I might try and do some things with my dog to take the heat off that other dog, right? So if your dog is trained, you can have your dog start just watching you and going into more heavy training or like loose leash walking or healing and a high rate of reinforcement, right? So I know if I'm just tell my dog, watch me, and we just walk and we're healing and I'm just paying, that's going to keep that my dog's eyes off that dog, which can be a trigger for some dogs. That dog might be fine unless someone's looking at him or pulling at him or the type of the dog, that kind of thing. The other thing you can do, quite frankly, and I do this with the things I'm telling you are also things I do if I'm walking a reactive dog, right? So I've had many reactive dogs. All the dogs in my home for the most part are solid now. Like I'm not having these explosions anymore, but I have several dogs here who used to do that. I mean, they would blow up at everything they saw. So I'm going to get distance. I'm going to assess the other dog to make sure that's okay. I am going to probably duck behind something. So if there's a car parked and that dog's on the other side of the street, I might just duck behind that car. If the dog's on the same side of the street, I'm probably going to cross the street and possibly duck behind a car. Another thing you can do, absolutely, Jenny. Diane remembers my Jenny. Jenny came to me when she was 3.5 months old after laying open a veterinarian. So she had been in rescue. She had bit somebody really badly at 3.5 months old, and I took her to assess her, and she never left here. That's the only bite she ever had. She's never bitten again since I've had her after going through this program with her, you know, basically from shy to showy, even though she's not a show dog. It's the same process. And but she would lunge and snarl at humans across the street when she was 3 months old. So it was pretty darn severe. The other thing I wanted to say, Rebecca, is that you can also take a handful of treats, throw it on the ground just so your dog drops their head and looks less intimidating, less confrontational, and just let your dog drop their head and eat cookies while that other dog just moves away. Because I'm not going to stand around. And sometimes people don't know how to deal with this, right? So people will literally yank on their dogs or hit their dogs or try and make them sit and just keep making them look at them when clearly the dog's uncomfortable with what's going on, right? So for my dogs, they don't have to do that. If they're telling me I can't deal with this thing is too big and too close, we're going to get some distance. Because, and I work with this with people all the time. People feel like, you know, the way to deal with it is to get so close that the dog reacts and then pummel the dog for reacting. But if the dog is going off, your dog's gone to another place emotionally. Your dog is limbic. They are no longer making rational decisions because they can't, right? So I like to use the analogy, if I was being, if I'm sitting here teaching a class and then all of a sudden someone just comes, you know, running at me, I'm not going to be able to just keep focused on you and ignore the fact that someone's maybe running at me aggressively. I have to deal with that situation that's upsetting and potentially scary for me. Now, another question was common causes of reactivity and sort of how to assess it. And there's a lot of common causes for reactivity. The number one, I would say, well, I'm going to say that there's two reasons that I think are about the same in terms of how often I see them. Number one is fear. The dog is worried. And this makes people crazy because they go, he's not afraid. Look at him. Like, he's trying to get to that other dog. But I promise you, if I unhook that leash, many of those dogs would not go confront the other dog. It is a fear-based response. They're not comfortable with other dogs. So they say, I'm going to get you before you get me. Another very common thing is leash frustration or barrier frustration. And that means that the dog actually really likes other dogs, but he gets frustrated because he can't go see the other dog. This is why I've moved away from traditional puppy classes, unless they include teaching the dog to not get to play all the time with other dogs. Because if you have a puppy and you take him to puppy class, and I taught puppy classes for many years, and I'm not like saying puppy classes are bad. I'm just saying that if you take your dog to a place and you say, go ahead and play with other puppies, and that's all you have to do, when your puppy is 6 months old or 8 months old and they're no longer allowed to just go play crazy with all these puppies, they're going to start getting frustrated, especially if there's no, you know, they don't have any other friends to play with, right? So they're just supposed to be trying to go for a walk and they see a dog and they don't go to puppy class anymore. And they're like, hey, I want to go play. That can actually flip to the dog being really upset, by the way. So it can start out as just the dog wants to play. That can get the dog so frustrated that it actually can tip into aggression and make the dog just not appropriate at all to deal with another dog in that moment. Dominic asked, I'm going to put this up here. Is it okay to walk away? We turn around and walk the opposite way until Aria is calm. Sorry if I missed this, hopping on midway. Absolutely. That's one of the first things I teach when I work with clients who have a reactive dog, is a turn and go. So I want that dog to know that the moment I say this way, they just know that means we're going to spin and go in the other way. Because, hey, Angie, because you could be, you could have the dog, you know, really, really clear on that cue, let's go. And they know that as soon as you say it, you're going to turn and go, rather than they're starting to get ramped up or they've already seen the other dog and then they have no clue what you want, right? So then you're just trying to pull them away. So absolutely, I love going the opposite way and or increasing distance in some way. Dominic also said that's Aria. She gets excited and wants to play. And that's part of why it's so important when we're teaching young dogs or baby dogs how to be around other dogs, that they understand that it's not a, you just get to go up to every dog and play. When I taught basic classes, I promise you, people would come and they would have a reactive dog. Now, reactive just means it's a dog that's barking on the leash. It doesn't mean the dog has this huge amount of problems or it's a big issue. Sometimes it is. Sometimes it's mild. Sometimes we just have to do a little tweaking. But they would say, oh, can he just go say hi to that dog? He'll be fine after he says hi. And it's like, no. Like, my training class is not going to allow unknown dogs to go up and say hi to other dogs. That's not fair to the dogs who don't want to say hi to everyone. So if you're doing puppy classes, if you're getting your dog out there and doing like a lot of work with other dogs, you know, you want to make sure that he knows how to, one, be calm and relaxed out while other dogs are playing when he's not engaged in that play. That he knows how to immediately come out of the play and settle down, and so that you can let him play, pull him out of it, and then he can you know, have some downtime, and then you can release them to play again. All right. Any questions? Feel free to just write them in there. This is very cool because it is telling me everybody's name. So that makes me happy because sometimes it just says, you know, Facebook user. Trying to think of other questions that came up during the topic. I will say that generally I have some go-to methods for this. If you've done From Shy to Showy, then you know that I am a real fan of desensitization and counter conditioning, which is how we, how I work with reactivity. So that means that I'm basically going to give the dog as much distance from the trigger. The trigger is whatever's making the dog react. So as much distance as the dog can see the trigger and is aware of the trigger, but not reacting to it, right? So I've had dogs where that's 6 feet, and I've worked with dogs where that's, you know, four lanes of street, you know, lots and lots of distance. So it just depends on the individual. Mara asked, where do we find From Shy to Showy? From Shy to Showy is on our website, showdogprepschool.com. It's offered as, it's a book, it's an online course, it's a webinar, and, you know, workshop that I do in person all over the country. And it, we have a whole package. So if you want to do some privates with me, as well as From Shy to Showy, you can. You're welcome. So basically that process means that we're getting the dog to where they're aware of the trigger, but, you know, they can still, I usually ask these questions. Can the dog hear me? Can the dog respond to known cues? Can the dog eat food? Eating food's not enough. It's got to be eating food relaxed, comfortably, where they're not, you know, grabbing it out of your hand, because a lot of dogs will still eat when they're upset or they're afraid. So we want to make sure that you're not just saying, can the dog eat? You're saying, can he eat? Can he hear me when I say his name? If my dog always go, if this is my dog, and when I say, where's his head? There it is. If I say Django, he should look at me immediately. He knows how to do that. If I say his name and he doesn't do that, then I know he's not okay. And he probably needs a little more distance. So can he hear me? Can he respond to known cues? Can he eat food? And so I'm going to work with the dog at that distance where he can do those things. Hear me, respond, eat food. He's relaxed. He's calm. And then once there's no level of anxiety there, then we'll move a little closer to the trigger. The thing that's challenging with reactivity is that some dogs, and I'm talking about generally upset reactivity, where the dog is worried about another dog and that's why he's barking. Some dogs, if they're dog reactive or human reactive, will be selective in what they're concerned about or what they're upset about, right? So you can have a dog who doesn't care about the 12-year-old poodle across the street who walks slow, you know, like this with his head down, but he might react to the 10-month-old pit bull who's all excited and happy and jumping around in the world. So you could have, so, you know, it could be very specific. It could be the dog goes nuts at every dog. I personally had lived with dogs who were reactive to dogs, humans, and any environmental changes in the world. Meaning, oh, all of a sudden there's, you know, a car that shouldn't be there. I'm upset about it. Or, oh, there goes, you know, there's a, you know, a recycling bin on the street. That's not okay. You know, and they get upset about that. So it could be a lot of different things that the dogs could react to. And I do want to tell you this, because this comes up a lot, usually from a, it seems mostly fearful. So I would classify it as that type of reactivity, the sort of spooky. We do see it be very, very common that this type of thing can crop up in young adolescent dogs. So you could have a dog, let's say the dog was a stable puppy. This is similar to what's going on with my dog. So I have a whole free webinar called Rook's Journey, and it's all about my dachshund Rook's, you know, his from shy to showy journey. So I pulled him from the ring after showing him one time when he was worried, he was reactive in the world. And now 9 months later, I've shown him a few times. He's got a major, he's got points. He's showing very, very reliably and comfortably, but I'm always watching and I'm ready to make a change if I need to. But that kind of goes through the whole process and gives you some ideas of what it all looks like. But you can have, you know, dogs who are reactive to a lot of different things, reactive one thing. So then you get these young adolescent dogs. And frequently what happens is they seem to, you know, I personally believe that it's just an adolescent thing that happens because of hormones and because of, you know, just where they are developmentally in their minds and their brains, where we get a lot of these dogs were around maybe 9 or 10 months old. They all of a sudden start barking at stuff or seeming afraid of things when they didn't. That's what happened with Rook. And then we kind of pull him through it. Now he's never going to turn into a dog who runs and jumps into the arms of all people, but he runs up to people now. So, I mean, it can get quite a bit better. So it sort of depends on the level of it and how upset or not upset the dog is. I hope that explains from shy to showy a little bit. And the way that we do that, the desensitization, the counter conditioning and the little bits at a time is how I do everything, right? So it could be the dog doesn't like having his collar put on. Okay, let me just break that down and make the dog be okay with it. And I'll train him to be okay with it. Or it could be, you know, the dog is not okay with the grooming piece. So let me just train that. So no matter what I'm working on, that's how I'm going to train it. And also no matter the species. So I've done this with lots of animals besides just dogs. Okay. I'm going to read Maura's comment. Dealing with this right now, 8-month-old giant schnauzer who I just got back from a co-owner is fine with being touched and will approach people I'm thinking that's 8 out of 10 times okay, but it's at 2% where he will back up, growl, having issues at handling class. Was fine last week with one judge, and now this week growling at our other trainer on the exam approach. I can hold his head. He will snarl and show teeth, but he is also oddly not tense. Like I can barely hold his head, and he makes no move to try to something. Okay, well, first, let me say that the awesome part is that you've got 8 times that are okay, right? So that's where we're going to start. I would not, under any circumstances, have this dog at a handling class right now because he's practicing growling at people when they approach. Like the whatever dogs and every animal and us, whatever we do, when we practice something, we get better at it, right? So it's funny. I just had a dog in class the other day and it was an adolescent male Rottweiler. And, you know, he was very sweet and very adorable. And I found out after I'd already had my hands on him that he, you know, had some stranger danger stuff. So he wiggled up to me and I was kind of petting him while I was talking to his owner. And I moved down his back and he turned around and bumped my hand with his nose. It wasn't particularly aggressive. It was a little bit unruly and rude. But I was just like, I didn't love that. She's like, yeah, he does that. That's when she told me that, you know, he cannot like people. And I'm like, okay, we don't want him practicing that. And I don't say this kind of stuff a lot, but I did live with that breed. And I'm like, I do not want a male Rottweiler teenage boy practicing turning around and making people go like this, because he could very well be like, that was fun. But with your dog who's growling, Mara, he's actually saying, look, I'm asking you to stop. So if you're holding him and he's snarling and they're just ignoring his snarling and doing it anyway, that growl is a warning, right? So he's saying, please stop. If they don't stop, at any time, he could just completely snap and bite someone because no one's listening to the cue to stop. Like he knows he shouldn't have to do more than lift his lip and growl to make people back off, right? So, oh, I love that you said that. That is so wonderful. So this is great because sometimes people are like, What do you mean I have to take him to class? So Mara said, interesting thought on not going to class. I never thought of it from that standpoint. What do you recommend for confidence building being touched approach? True, he's giving warning and he's being courteous. He's being really courteous. The fact that, and I don't think that you're bad or the trainers are necessarily bad for doing that, you know, for, because that's what most people have in their toolbox, right? Most people, because most people who teach handling classes, not all, but a big percentage of them are not behavior consultants. They're not behaviorists. They don't understand this piece. They might be able to show dogs brilliantly, present dogs. They might know pedigrees, you know, all over the place, but this is different. This is emotional stuff. This is not sit down and you get a cookie or stand and you get a cookie. This is making a dog learn to be okay with being touched. So there's a whole bunch of stuff I would do. What I would love for you to do is to look at the website and sign up for a package for the From Shy to Showy full package so we could do it together, because then we would work together. So I would absolutely start working on him with, first of all, just confidence building in the world. Now, remember, this is an 8-month-old working dog, right? So in addition to you wanting to train him to be a show dog, he's got a bunch of natural genetic just sort of tendencies that are coming out. And I've seen these dogs, not giant schnauzer, but like large working breeds, where all of a sudden, literally 10 months old, they bark and they're like, oh my God, why did I do that? Because they're just realizing their body is just making them bark at stuff, right? So the first thing I want to do is just a huge amount of fun training, confidence building, so that he knows what everything's called, right? So I want a dog who's worried to have all the benefits in the world as much as I can, right? So I'm going to teach him everything. I will teach him a cue that someone is going to approach him. I will teach him a cue, meaning when I say a cue, I mean a word that tells him, right? So I'll say something like, here he comes, so he knows it's coming. I need these dogs to know everything that's happening. I'm going to give him a cue that I'm going to show his mouth. I'm going to give him a cue when anybody goes to touch his testicles, because that's something a lot of dogs don't like. And I think that thing that little Roddy didn't like. So I'm like, this is what you're going to do. This is your dog. I want you to say, steady, slide your hand down, touch the testicle, give him a cookie. Steady, slide your hand down, give him, you know, touch the testicle, give him a cookie. So I want to make sure he has a cue for all those things. So you're going to train him to stack. You're going to train him to stay. You're going to train him so he knows how to do all these things, right? So that will give him a lot of confidence. And then I would do a million other confidence building things, like, you know, maybe fitness and conditioning stuff, trick training, all that, just building knowledge on the dog, right? So that would all be really, really good stuff to do. Now, as far as the actual being touched and approached, I do this a little bit differently. So I would pull apart the approach piece. I don't want people approaching him yet. What I'm going to start doing is taking him out, and I'm hesitant to say, like, I'm going to say this because this is what I would do, but I also want you to know that I want you to be careful, right? Because he snarled and he showed teeth and he could, you know, get upset about this. So it's up to you to be really careful and aware and watch his body language. But what I would do with dogs like this is, and rather than have somebody come and approach him, I'm just going to have the dog on leash. And when someone walks up to sort of talk to me, I'm just going to ask them to ignore the dog. Then the dog's going to go up and probably want to sniff the person. I'm going to continue to have them ignore the dog. And then I, the handler, am going to call the dog off after about 2 seconds, step away, call the dog back, and then give the dog food. And then we're going to walk up and the dog can choose to re-engage. This is huge, right? Because when you do that, you're doing a couple things. One, you called him away and he got rewarded for that, right? So one thing that you're doing, and I'm going to give credit to Suzanne Clothier because she's the one who taught me this, is that I am going to teach that dog how to remove himself from situations that make him uncomfortable, okay? Because a lot of dogs don't know how to do that. They get up close to a scary trigger and they're there. So then they're just like, blah, 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 blah. They start barking, reacting, or worse, biting, you know, jump on the person and bite him. So I need to teach that dog how to get out of those situations. Now, I don't want you to have to put any pressure on the lead. We don't want to pull a dog away from someone that he's looking at if he's worried. So you need to first practice just teaching him to walk, you know, when you call his name, to turn and follow you back a few steps and reward him. Then you're going to practice this with someone who, you know, he likes, right? So there's nothing going on. So he can go up and sniff and you can call him back and reward. And then you can do it with a few other people he knows and then build on that. So then once I've sort of done that, then I'm going to start building in, can I touch this dog? And I'm just doing a little bit at a time. So in my classes, if I was the teacher and you brought me him, and let's say I was going to go up to examine him, and you know, I knew that he already showed teeth and is not comfortable with that, I'm just going to walk up. And if he looks relaxed, I'm going to walk away and you're going to give him a treat. And I'm going to walk up and you're going to, and I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to walk away and you're going to give him a treat. And I'm going to do that until the minute I start to walk up, he looks at you like, where's my cookie? Then I'm going to walk up and maybe put my hand out. And then you're going to give him a treat. I'm going to walk away. So I'm literally going to pull it apart to where the very moment he says, I can go, okay, dude, I got you. I've built this whole foundation of him being comfortable. And then I hit something. Now I'm going to tell you, when I do this, sometimes there's never a growl, because we're actually going through the process and building it up. We're training it. We're building a foundation. So dogs that people say no one's ever been able to put their hands on them, I can touch them at the end of a session just from doing this. And it's because they understand that when they cued, you know, that when the dog growled at me, you know, we heard him. And so we adjusted what we were doing. So much of the time people are just like, no, you just need to hold him still and we're just going to do it. Well, that's not going to work with a giant schnauzer for very long, right? Like, you don't want to have a fight with this dog. You're not going to win. No one is going to win if they try and get into it with him, right? So it's not about winning or losing. It's about you saying, oh, dude, I'm so sorry you're not comfortable. How can we make you okay with this? And then we start at the bottom and then we just build it up, build it up. So once I've done that, so I've done that process where I walk up and, you know, first I just walk up and walk away. Then I walk up and put my hand out. Then I walk up and touch them. Then I walk up and do a little more. Then, and we're always watching the body language and I'm always moving away in between reps so that the dog gets a release of pressure and can sort of think about what happened and then decide if they want me to approach again. Because, you know, all they have to do, and they learn very quickly, all you have to do is look at me funny or look at your mom. And that's going to communicate to us that they're not comfortable. Like, I care about the fact that the dogs aren't comfortable, right? So not everybody cares about that. Some people are like, too bad. He needs to deal with it. Not me. He doesn't have to deal with it until he's okay dealing with it. That is the deal that I have with my dogs. They don't have to, except for, you know, emergency veterinary stuff or stuff I cannot train for. They don't have to do it until they're okay and they feel safe. Diane Garrett, who's a friend of mine and actually a very, a well-known, trainer who specializes in aggression and reactivity, says those cues can be used at the vet also. Absolutely. So the cue to show the bite, the cue to the testicles, all that. Oh, good, Maura. But also feel free to check out those packages. Okay. Freya says, I have a 10-month-old Staffordshire Bull Terrier. Oh, I love Staffy Bulls. She is submissive and she lays down quickly on her back and is happy and secure, especially human. Eventually, it takes several more minutes, but then it happens again. At the same time, she is vigilant at the garden gate and the hedge where we live in a balanced way. Okay, so do you mean that she's submissive and roll? So tell me more about that. Because if she's submissive and she lays down on her back and is happy and secure, then I think if she does that, I would not have people touch her on her belly. Because even if she's showing her tummy, people automatically think that that's just like a green light for everyone to, you know, touch them. Sometimes it's like an I give, you know, okay, I don't want any trouble. But then once they're on their back and they can't get away, they might not actually want to be touched on their tummy. So if you suspect she does like it, then what I would do is she goes up to somebody and she rolls on her back, I would have them get up and walk away from her a few feet. If she comes up to them and does it again, then I might touch her down her belly two times, get up and walk away. So that way she can come to me and ask for more if she wants it. But sometimes these dogs, they just don't know how to navigate through these situations, right? So they will go up to things that they're not sure of. They'll go up to people sometimes if the person has food, even though it's okay, Freya, I totally get it. And I'm trying to understand, but no offense or, you know, I don't want you to feel bad at all that I'm trying to understand. But yeah, if it takes, you know, I just would say I would want to make sure that she actually has a choice to not be touched by the people, right? So if she comes up and rolls on her back, or if she comes up and is squiggling around, you know, maybe they just kind of move away and see if she comes and asks a little bit closer. Or asks again, right? And then you can call her away and give her a cookie and she can choose to approach again if she wants to. Any other questions? But do you notice, like, we've only had two people ask questions, I think, but it's a theme, right? It's a theme. 8 months old, 10 months old. It's not uncommon that this age is hard. Does anybody, look, I'm 50, I just turned 53. I almost said I was 52. I just turned 53. I remember being a teenager, some of it, and I remember not being an easy one. But if you think about just adolescence in general, like there's a lot of conflict, you know, there's a lot of moodiness. And I believe that a lot of that is hormonal and just the way the brain is developing, but you know, it creates issues. It creates issues for, humans. It creates issues for people. It creates issues for, you know, animals, for everybody. So, Mara asked, do you know what causes this? Is just a fear period? Well, I think it's not a fear period. So, and this is a great question because it comes up a lot. Oh, she's just in a fear period. Well, you know, it's not a fear period, meaning a universal thing that happens in all dogs, because it doesn't happen in all dogs, right? We do know that there are fear periods that happen earlier in the puppy's life, you know, like around the 5 week mark and 7 week mark, that there can be periods where dogs are afraid when they're very little puppies. But this isn't really a fear period. This is just something that happens to some individuals. And again, I believe it's just because of the dump of hormones and just the brain development and lack of experience when all of this kind of craziness is going on. I think there's, even in really well-trained dogs, there's sometimes just a lack of impulse control and self-control. They're just like, bleh. So I think that all of those things can contribute to it. I also think it seems to be the time when a lot of those natural instincts start coming to the surface. So sometimes you'll see that where, especially if it's in a dog that has a very specific type of work that they do. Right. So I would say, like, when I had my first cattle dog, it was like he literally woke up when he was 10 months old and went, I'm worried now, you know, and he was never the same. But now when I think back, I actually realize now, oh my, he was way too focused, way too brilliant as a young puppy, like just laser focused. But I think a lot of that was actually hypervigilance. So he had actual genetic issues and not good wiring. So it wasn't like he went through this and changed, you know, dramatically, and then he came back to being level. He sort of always was a hot dog with a lot of issues after that. Let me see. Jamie said, great information. Thank you. I'm sharing my Cane Corso puppy group. Pups are 8 months old today, so the timing is perfect. Yes. So with a Corso, and guess what? Corsos are allowed to be worried. They're allowed to be insecure or upset. So you will get that a lot where it's like, and I do see it a lot in the working dogs where it's like, I'm not saying you guys, but a lot of people are like, no, if he's a boxer, he's fine. He's got to deal with it, you know? But it's like, no, he can't deal with it. So let's just help him and make him feel more comfortable with it. Okay, Mara said this pup was a confident, happy pup until 6 months. Then this started at class with the previous co-owner and the breeder. He went to one show, was reactive 2 of 3 days. I got him back. He was great at class last week, 0 issues. Bite exam, absolutely nothing. Then like I described last night with a different teacher, the behavior came back. I have him entered in a show this weekend because it was based on the show. I would pull him. Yeah, I love what you're saying. I would definitely pull him. And I would say, if you can get the teacher that he was good with, now it could be just that, you know, he's getting a little more settled and now this is just sort of surfacing more, but I would just work on really getting him to where, like with someone he really knows and trusts with you, the two of you working on him like together, right? So he's getting the practice of the ritual and the behavior of what the show ring looks like, right? So sometimes people say, well, I'm not going to have my husband go over the dog. He doesn't care if he goes over him. He's not upset at all with him. And it's like, right, but I still need him to practice how to do this, what this looks like, so that when he's ready, we can actually do it. So it could totally be, I mean, I don't want to say a lot publicly, but if we work together privately, I might ask you, do we know how he was trained in the past? Do we know if there was any issues and anything that happened? Do we know if there's any, because there are things that could cause this. Like if he, you know, one time, you know, didn't want to show his bite and someone made him do it and punished him for it or just, you know, ignored him. I mean, that can create issues too. My dog is 15 months old and has just started this behavior. Yep. It's common that it happens in adolescence. Look at the ages. And it's generally my experience is 9 or 10 months old, but it certainly can be anytime. Yeah. So Maura, maybe you might want to go back with that teacher. I would probably pull him out of the classes for a little bit longer just because I'd want to get some real solid skills on board. And I'd also want to know, like, what happens when the dog goes to, you know, Lowe's or Home Depot? Like, can you go there? Does she just ignore them? She has a preferred distance. Roll dogs, okay. She has no reaction. Should we be working to reduce her preferred distance? No, not yet. At first, I just want her to be so happy when she sees a person because, you know, we just want the dog. The first step is like, the dog sees a person, because right now, when your dog sees a person, they're probably like, ew. And, oh, I was just, Marta, I thought you were Maura. I misread that. And I'm like, oh, Marta wrote something. So I would say, you know, you have a distance that you're working at, right? So when the dog sees the trigger, the dog gets upset. So what we want to do is change that behavioral response to when the dog sees a trigger, he gets all excited and looks at you and says, where's my chicken? Can I get my chicken now? Because we've taught him that that trigger, that scary thing, predicts something good for him. And pretty quickly, you end up with a new behavior because what will happen is the dog will go from just feeling good, but actually looking at you after they notice the other dog. So now you've taught a behavioral response. Does that make sense? Now what the dog is going to do and what they're supposed to do is look at the dog, look at the scary thing, and then look at you. Now you train an actual head turn. So Marta, except Marta said, my dog is selective. She reacts to some dogs, others she ignores. She has a preferred distance. Oh, so for Maya, Marta, sorry, I thought it was the other dog, but I would say, yeah, I would work on having her not react at other dogs, but I wouldn't be upset if my dog reacted a sidewalk with, right? So in other words, that's not a distance that upsets me because I don't let dogs get that close to my dog. But if it was a show dog and she was going to be, then I'm going to work with her and get her more comfortable. So yeah, I would. But since it's not like, I don't think it's an upset thing with Maya. I would work on getting her to where you can get closer, but I think it's different because I don't think she's as upset. You mentioned leash frustration. How do you deal with that in a 5-month-old puppy? Same way. Same way. You just teach them that one, if you're doing anything like puppy classes, that your puppy knows that going to see other dogs is contingent on the behavior that you ask for or calm behavior, right? So you're not ever just, gonna let your puppy just run up to every old dog, right? I would expect behaviors that I've trained and asked for, and then going to the dog can be a reward. So if you're standing there and there you have your 5-month-old puppy on a leash and someone is 8 feet away and your puppy's going off, he can't handle it. It's just too much. So don't let him go greet the puppy. Move him far away. See what happens if you move him 20 feet. Can he stop being frustrated? Can he calm down? Can he eat a cookie? Then maybe you can try to approach again. So it's kind of a matter of getting a lot of those skills on board. Let's see. Oh, good. Oh, good. And I'm glad that you get that. Yeah, you absolutely can practice with other people. You don't even want strangers at first. So let's see. Nikki said, my dog goes up to people. He will sniff them, but when they go to touch him, he backs away. Many people has called him a tease. Yeah, because he does probably like people, but he doesn't want to be touched by him yet. So that means that you can do that where you let him go up, but just don't have him touch him, call him back, reinforce him, and then we would build from there. But we need someone to start doing the stuff where they come up, put the hand out, put it away, and move back, that kind of thing. Marta said, not at shows, it's on our daily walks. Marta, the first thing I'd want to do is probably want to find out if you think she's upset about this. If she seems upset or stressed, or if she's just barking because she's Maya and she's like kind of barky and telling the whole world hello and barking at dogs because she kind of wants to go see him. So I'd want to figure out if we could, figure out a little bit more of the cause, like what the rest of her body language looks like. With Maya, I think she could be bored and just kind of wanting to go say hi. So Diane asked, have you ever had a show dog so reactive that you had to recommend the person not show them? As for temperament and breed, it might be passed down genetically. When would you come to that realization? Well, I frequently have people, yes, for me, absolutely, too much reactivity would cause me not to show a dog. As you know, Bill was supposed to be my everything in the world dog, and he ended up not doing all that stuff because it wasn't for him. It was too much to have him being doing agility and rally and doing, reactive dog work and stuff like that. He just couldn't do any of that. So yeah, for the show ring, well, I mean, what I kind of tell people when we're working on this is, I have told people, I don't know about this. I don't know if this is going to be okay because I don't know if it's going to be okay. But I will tell you that I don't need to ever stop having people work on it, meaning I have a sort of a set criteria of what I'm going to say needs to be in place before someone can show their dog, like if it's a client, right? So if someone's got a dog and let's say the dog is reactive or super fearful or, defensive or there's any weird stuff going on that's emotional, if they're working with me, I'm going to say we need to pull the dog. Like the dog can't be shown right now. So it doesn't mean we're saying the dog will never be shown. I'm saying they can't be shown with this happening. So then what we do is we start our process. If we get to a point where the dog can be shown, great. I mean, you're never really going to know if it's done forever, right? Like with Rook, he's not ever going to just be like, yay, everybody touch me. But he's really good about showing now and he seems to really enjoy himself. So for me, it kind of depends on that. The dog has to be okay. So as for breeding the dog, that comes into it too. Like it's the same thing. I don't say things really too much about people's, breeding or whatever. Like if they ask me, that's one thing. But basically, what I'm going to say to people is, well, I mean, this could be passed down. Like, do you want to have more show dogs like this? I don't. So I'm going to be real careful on if I'm going to breed at all. And if I am going to breed at all, what I breed the dog to. But for me, there are some deal breakers, which is no, a dog. Absolutely. I will not work with someone if I'm afraid that their dog could hurt another dog or a person in the ring, including a handler. So no, we're just not going to go in there with a dog who could potentially bite and pretend like, you know what I mean? Like nothing's happening and just because they want to show it so bad. So there are times when I'm like, yeah, I don't know. Now, I also want to say that if you're doing your training right, and you might not be if you're doing it by yourself, because it's really, this is pretty intense work and it requires the right timing and it requires for, you know, things to happen at the right time and all of that. So if you are doing this well, you should see changes. You know, I pull Rook for 9 months. Now he's been a very reliable show dog. I take him for walks. He doesn't bark at people anymore. Like, I'm really happy with that progress. But if I had, and for me, 9 months seems to be, I don't want to say the magic number, but it that's where I usually get them back in the ring. But through that 9 months, like with Rook, for instance, or Valencia, another Pharaoh hound that we did a 9 month pull on, I'm seeing progress in that 9 months, right? So it's not like we're going to pull them and then at the end they're good. It's like they're here, we're working on it. I'm seeing all this progress and change, and that's what causes me to make the decision to put the dog back in the ring. But if you're doing really, really good behavior mod and nothing's changing, it probably means that's not enough. And what that means is that the dog could need more. The dog could need medication. And I want to say, and I want to say it publicly, that there is no shame in getting your dog on meds if that's what they need. I have a dog who's on meds. I have other ones who just take supplements and stuff, but I do have one on medication because it's really hard for her to focus and be calm. And I am giving her medication that promotes learning and helps her settle so that when I'm doing like intense training with her, she gets more out of it. So I do want to say that if training isn't working, if it's good training, meaning this process, behavior modification, not just like yank them and thank them or something, you should be seeing changes. And if you don't, it's probably, you know, maybe time to get a vet behaviorist on board. And if a dog needs medication, they could get it. I see on pages all the time. I can't even be on them. It's like, well, I don't agree with medication. I don't agree with medication. You should just train him. I don't agree with medicating him. And it's like, you know what? How dare you? Like if that dog, you know, has a kidney disease and needs medicine, is he going to get it? If your dog has something wrong with his body, is he not going to get it? I take medication. I am not good, not on it. Right. So I think it's really important that, you know, we're, you know, honest with ourselves about this. And if your dog, you know, is not okay and would benefit from medication or a supplement, then I think we owe it to them to do that. Okay. Valerie said it's happening after a walk off leash in an enclosed park. No other dogs around. When it's time to leave, he's awful as the leash is put back on. Okay. So he's frustrated, right? So probably what I would do, I mean, maybe set up a private with me so I could work with you on this. But so he's fine when you get there. He's fine on leash. But after you're done at the dog park and you want to leave, he's reactive. This is the 5 month old. Is this the 5 month old puppy? I'm going back to look. Yeah. If I'm reading this right, totally, that's leash frustration. And absolutely, I would be like, you know, I would probably with that, maybe I would do a little bit of training. Perfect. Okay. So you are at the dog park, no other dogs around. When it's time to leave, he's awful as soon as leash is put on. Okay. So there's no dogs at the park. So I probably would call him, give him a cookie and let him go. So that's the first thing I would want to teach is a recall. You call him standing there with your leash, because he's going to be like, I'm not coming over there. And you're going to train him to come to you with the leash. And if you don't put the leash on and leave, then you're going to be reinforcing coming to you, right? So he comes to you, you give him a cookie, he runs off. He comes to you, you give him a cookie, he runs off. You come to you, you put the leash on, you give him a cookie, you take the leash off, you let him go. And you just fix that. You just fix that piece. He doesn't want to leave. And so he's just reacting, especially if there's no other dogs around. That's not really barrier frustration. He just doesn't want to leave the dog park. So I think he's complaining about it. So I would teach him to come to you and to not be sad about that leash coming on. Like, good things are going to come. When that leash goes on, guess what, dude? You get a cookie. Okay, Freya, tip for showing, do you mean reactive dogs? Absolutely, Diane. If they're reactive, they're probably not ready to be in the ring yet. We need to clean that up a little bit before we're going to have them in the ring. Okay, Judith said it helps a lot of dogs. Half of my board, Judith's a professional trainer too and a colleague. Half of my boarding clients are medicated and they're making great progress. Yep, it is, can be very beneficial. And I use supplements for my show dogs. So you're not going to, you cannot show a dog who's medicated. Well, you could, but it's against the rules. So I'm not going to take a dog that's medicated into the ring, but I will use supplements because we can do that. So just like you use supplements for a growing coat, Mara mentioned CBD. CBD can be really helpful. I really like theanine. And so I'll give higher doses of theanine sometimes when we have a show. And then, I think it's called like Mr. Richards or Dr. Richards. There's a really nice supplement that my friend told me about that I got on Amazon. And that one I actually like a lot too. Freya said, thank you very much for this live. I like the way you tell us about this. Nice. Oh, absolutely. I'm happy to do it. Mara said, it's like taking the kids away from the immune. Yes, they don't want to go home. He's like, I don't want to go. All right. So we're coming up on an hour. So we're going to wrap up. Although this was really fun and I can talk about behavior all day long. This is kind of my favorite thing, just to like ask questions and talk about behavior. So, if I can help you, you guys, you can go to showdogprepschool.com. You can purchase individual remote one-on-one sessions with me. You can purchase in-person sessions. And then we also have some past webinars on reactivity. So actually it's just one. It was by Chelsea Murray and Chelsea's fabulous. And I absolutely love that webinar. And it's like a longer one, but it has a lot of information on there about working with reactive dogs and building up your program. If your dog's scared or worried, or you're getting that, like Mara was talking about the growly stuff, I would consider that a from shy to showy case. So you could also do from shy to showy, the full package where you get meetings with me as well. So I'm so glad. Please, you guys, let me know if you like this talk and if there's other talks we can do. I got into kind of a lot about the actual process in this because I wanted to kind of give you some ideas of what it actually looks like. So I hope that was helpful. And I will be putting this on Facebook and I will probably put it on our podcast, the Confirmation Conversation as well. So follow it on all of those. And if you're not already following on Facebook, give us a follow here too. Thanks, everybody. Yep, he is. He is, Mara. I'm very happy for you that you have that good boy. Now we just gotta work it out and help him through it. Absolutely. Thanks, Barbara. Thank you so much for that, Barbara. Thank you, Diane.